Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuck Show. Woo! I've got a kitty here named Rocky Balboa, and I'm so thankful that Survivor gave me permission to play Eye of the Tiger. This is just awesome. I'm a Rocky fan, so just getting right into it. I know it's like, it's going to be a quickie today, and I know saying the word quickie on air, that could lead to some naughty things, right? You know? But anyway, I'm very excited. There's going to be a returning guest, and I'm going to be doing my two promos really quick right here. First one, get right into it. This one does take me straight to my own heart for my extended family members. The Sarah Joy Foundation, as a way of honoring Sarah Joy, who passed away from cancer at 32 years of age, leaving behind two small boys and her husband, Eric. Through this foundation, our vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy the life as much as they can. Sarah, in her last year, did more travel and activities than most people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast. The list goes on and on. She did all this while being told she was too sick to even get out of bed. Too many families make their lives a hospital bed, and for a while, because of this illness, and that for Sarah was never an option. Doris and Money would like to offer other families the same joy that Sarah and we had before she passed. It's amazing what a day at a spa could do or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer does not mean death, and people shouldn't mourn someone while they are alive. Enjoy life, love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves and the falls, the flowers, spring. We will be organizing fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. And please go to the Sarah Joy Foundation. Any donations will be greatly appreciated. You'll see an event actually coming up. And to let you know, this is for my extended family members. I've never met Sarah, but from what I know, she was pregnant with her unborn son, and she did not want to receive treatment for fear of hurting her unborn child. She gave birth to her child, and thus Sarah did succumb to the illness. And in every cloud, there can sometimes be a silver lining. Thus, the Sarah Joy Foundation was created. So any donations would be greatly appreciated. My second promo here, it's actually for Daily Bread Bakery in Standish, Maine. I'm a Bostonian, but I'm living up here in Maine, so kind of confuses people, so just explain it there. So right there, go to GoFundMe.com. 2 years ago, this is from the owner, Z, from Ahura Decor, Delisa, everyone calls him Z. 2 years ago, I started Daily Bread Low Sodium Bakery. It has been a goal of mine for 30 years to have a bakery and provide lovely baked goods to everyone. I started bakery and have been running it and holding my own without falling into too much debt. We rent the place and have totally renovated so that it's a wonderfully calming and inviting environment, and we serve healthy baked coffee and tea. We are full-service bakeries, which means that there's no task too hot for us, and we serve everyone equally. There are a few bakeries and few still in Standish, Maine area. We compete with Dunkin' Donuts and Aroma Joe's, which happen to move in less than a half mile away from us. This winter has been difficult as people don't come up for local businesses like ours, and I'm having trouble making rent. I'm not far behind, but we're in danger of losing the bakery, and if I cannot come up with the money fast, I have turned to GoFundMe as a last resort. Please help me save my bakery. I've always worked and earned my keep, but this time I need help. Daily Bread Bakery and Standish is definitely worth saving. I love bacon and do it well. For those that help, I will offer free special monthly as thanks and continue to create magnificent baked goods to the community. Thank you. From Ahura Decor Delisa, everyone calls him Z, owner of Daily Bread Low Sodium Bakery and Tea. So please go to GoFundMe and check that out. So, ladies and gentlemen, now to get on with Ninja Sunday. I swear to God, if I had gotten permission for the theme song of The Sopranos, I'd be playing this to bring my guest on. It is an honor to bring Frank back. And I'm not just saying this because Frank is going to be a guest on my show. I just have to say, ladies and gentlemen, I had met Frank. What a sweetheart. He plays like with these hardcore gangsters and stuff in these films and stuff, and he's a teddy bear. I know this from personal. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. So let me check in the queue. I know he's probably might be waiting there, so give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. Are you on the air?
I'm on the air, baby.
Hello, Frank. How are you? How you doing?
I'm great, babe. How you doing?
I'm doing lovely. Thank you for coming back on my show. It's so great to have
sure.
you.
Yeah, last time I was on, remember, I broke my ankle. I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm healed up. I'm totally healed up.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'm so glad because, like, oh, no. You're, like, one of the sweetest guys. Take it as a compliment, Frank. You're one of the sweetest guys I've ever met on film sets because, you know, you're there, like, no, seriously. It's like, because, you know, I mean, I've known guys that play bad guys and stuff, but they're the sweetest guys, and it's like, not to give you a bad
right.
complex or anything, but you are a sweet teddy bear. The few times I've met you and worked around your set, you're always like, hey, what we got to eat? And I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah, what was the movie we were doing? What was that movie?
I think it was called, it was two things. I know I saw you twice. One was, I think, called The Restaurant. I think it was in Indy or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other thing was, but I was like, man, this guy is like, he was like, hey, give me a hug. And I'm like, man, I was like, I don't even know who this guy, like, he doesn't know who I am. But he's like, hey, give me a hug. And I'm like, this guy's awesome. I said, he's just like a big cuddly teddy bear. And I was like, I talk about you, Frank. If your ears are ever burning and you don't know why, I kind of bring you up from time to time and I post on my Facebook because, you know, you were in the middle of doing like the Sopranos and it was a hit. And I was like, I was just getting started and I've only done a little bit of acting. I'm like, man, he's worked with the biggest guys and he's just like so cool to me. it was like the sweetest day. And, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just watching you work and stuff. I was like, I hope you take this as a compliment, but you're a funny bastard. It's just like, I really miss, and it's like I said, the comedians from Boston. That's the one thing I miss because I got to hang out, Donnie Soar as a comedian, took me around. I saw you at Giggles. That's where I think the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
You were doing stand up in Giggles.
Yeah. I was just there last night. Yeah,
oh, man, how was it?
That's like my home club. It was great. That's like my home club. That's where I work all the time, most of the time I work there. And
it's
one of the
awesome.
Last comedy
I
clubs
that.
Left stand. Yeah, me too. We used to go to the Comedy Connection at Faneuil Hall and hang out there, and that place closed down. So we don't really have a home club anymore where we all can hang out, you know, and that was it. And so now we all go to Giggles. In the back room of Giggles, we hang out.
Oh,
yeah, it's
man.
Over in Saugus.
That place is awesome. Yeah, it's great
yes,
because
it
it's like the day, you know, it's like I remember it's like, you know, the comedians, you know, it was real big. And you go there and it's like, you know, I think I was like, I would sit in the first row and I'm like, I sound like, I don't know, a hyena or something laughing. And I think comedians like that because I could not stop. When you got me on a roll,
right.
I'm so freaking loud. And it's like, I just want to go and I just want to forget everything. And comedians, they will do like anything to make you laugh. Not comedy.
Yeah.
What I like about your comedy, Frank, you talk of your experiences. You're not so much making fun where everybody nowadays, we got to make fun of everybody. But your own experiences, when you're talking about your stuff, that's what's funny because you go, yep, can relate to it. So, you know, since you're healing, what have you been up to? You know, like what have you been doing? What have you got anything planned?
You know, I'm in a movie, a local movie that's with Steve Sweeney and Tony V and Lenny Clark. It's called Sweeney Being Sweeney. That's the name of the movie, and it's all about Steve Sweeney and his career. And it was written by a guy named Bill Broaddus, who's a comedian, and he teaches a comedy writing class at Boston University, and this is his first screenplay. And so I'm playing, believe it or not, I'm playing Frank Santorelli. That's the character.
Oh my God.
I swear to God. And so everybody's sort of playing themselves. And it's a small independent film, you know, a micro budget. So we're all making very little money, but we're doing it because it's a labor of love for this friend of ours who's a screenwriter. And so hopefully it'll be, you know, like the Blair Witch Project, which
oh, no.
I don't know if you know anything about that movie. Yeah, that movie was made for like $1,000 and they all signed for money on the back end. And when the money came in, each one of those people got $33 million. Each one of those people in that film. Can you believe that? That's true. They all signed. They all worked for like $100 a day. And the movie made millions at the box office. It caught fire. And so they signed to get money on the back end, the percentage of the profits, and they each split $100 million, three people. So that's what we're hoping with this.
Oh, my God. If you guys need promotion, I mean, I could have you guys on here. You know, it's like anybody that's part of the film, the people that created this stuff, tell them to get a hold of me. I'd love to have you guys, you know, give you guys a full 2 hours.
You know what? We'll see, you know, because right now we're just doing the read-through. So I don't know if he's got the money and everything, the backing and everything to actually make the film, but we're doing a read-through, like, next Sunday. So, and it's, like I said, it's Steve Sweeney, and it's kind of about Steve Sweeney and his career. And all the local guys are in it. We're all playing ourselves, which is hilarious. Someone said, do you want to be in a movie where you play Frank Santorelli? And I'm like, yes.
I do have a question, though, because is it going to be like a modern day? Like, is it happening today or is it throughout your life?
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
it's modern day?
Right. No, it's happening. We're sitting around restaurants and it's like I said, it's a small budget. There's not going to be cars blowing up or anything like that. So it's a small independent film. Yeah, yeah, it's happening now. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been like watching Lenny Clark, like, you know, you guys, some of the comedians you can't friend because they have too much, and it's like I've been trying to watch your page and Lenny Clark. You know, it's like people that, you know, during the time period of me growing up, you know, and watching you guys, and I've seen you, and I think Lenny, and I don't know who it was, but you guys lost a lot of weight. I was like, oh my God,
yeah,
is that Lenny Clark?
Oh yeah, Lenny lost. Lenny lost 150 pounds. Yeah, it's amazing. He looks great.
It's like, I think you did too. Yeah, I think you look great too.
Yeah.
Well, you too, Frank. I'm like, holy crap, look at them go.
I know. Well, you know, you got to look good for show business, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to look good.
Have you been working out? I'm sorry. Have you been working out and stuff? Like,
that's
what else has been going on?
I'm working, doing stand-up. I'm doing the stand-up. And, you know, because I broke my ankle, I was out of commission for literally like 6 months. And so now I'm back and I can audition for stuff, which I couldn't do before. So hopefully I'm going to, you know, be going to New York and auditioning for, like, you know, whatever's going on in New York right now. You know, there's all kinds of stuff happening. So my manager's got to get me some auditions because, like I said, I was out of commission for a long time. You know, if you can't walk, you can't audition for anything. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Blue Bloods, you know, Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck is shot in New York. Can't think of some of the other shows. There's like three or four major TV shows that are shot in New York. Gotham, I think, is shot in New York. And so, yeah, there's some opportunities there. I gotta get back into it. I was out for a while. Yeah. And when you're out, you're out. Nobody knows who you are anymore. They forget about you very quickly. So
yeah,
hopefully
I think it depends. Cause for me, I mean, this is how I am and stuff like that, because like I said, I always, like, even like with Rocky and Jackie Chan, all my favorites and stuff, I don't forget about people. Like I says, I still remember, you know, it's like, it's like people, I don't say my age, but I think we're pretty close to the same age, Frank. And I just, like, I have respect for people that have been there. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about something. I was watching TV, and the great thing is I live in a different place now up here in Maine. I have a roommate. Her name's also Michelle. I can't take pictures of her. She'll stab me in the sleep with a butter knife, so I can't do anything like that. But I says, let's watch some of the Sopranos, right? And it's like, well, we pulled up YouTube and you can, like, see certain things and, like, and you happen to come up.
Sure.
And I'm going, are you kidding me? I'm like, I was like, Michelle, I was just talking to her about Frank, and I swear to God, YouTube pulled up your thing. I'm going, holy crap, that's Frank. And it's just like looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, what the heck? Because there's all these, you know, you think Tony Soprano would come up. No, you came up first, and I'm like, is, like, Big Brother watching us in my house? And we just almost crapped our pants on the couch. They go, I do not believe this.
Yeah, it was in 16 episodes.
Yeah. How did that feel to, like,
years?
Work with it? Because you, like, how long was that? How long is 16 episodes? Is that 2 years?
Well, no, I was on very sporadically. It was weird. Like, I was in 4 episodes in the first season, then nothing in the second season at all. And then the third season, I come in for 2. And then the fourth season, I come in for 3, like that. So there was really no consistency to it. It's just when it was all over with, I did 16 episodes. And that translates to about 2 episodes a season, because they did 8 seasons. And like, my character was very strange because it didn't really have any consistency to it. But they just would call me and say, you're in the next episode, like that. And I'd say, okay, and I'd go to the read-through, and I'd sit there with Gandolfini and everybody, and we'd read through the script, just like I'm going to do with this little movie. We would read through the script and then leave, and then I'd get a call and say, you got to be I'd have to be in the makeup trailer at like 5 a.m. for a noon shoot because they had to put the tattoos on me. And those took forever to put on.
Oh yeah, that's right. Did they draw it on? Was it a stencil? How did they do your tattoos?
The first thing that happened was David Chase came into the makeup trailer and said, put tattoos all over this guy. And she said, excuse me? And he said, put some tattoos on this guy. She said, what kind? He said, I don't care. Anything. So she went nuts. and she put like the Celtic cross on one arm and Chinese writing and all kinds of symbols and stuff like that. And so she went nuts and did both arms, and then they had to be the same every time. So they took pictures of it, and then that's what they had to do. They had to recreate the tattoos literally exactly the same every time. And so I'd have to be there before anybody. I had a person on each arm doing these tattoos. Yeah. And so that made me have to leave Boston very early, at like, you know, midnight. I would drive all night long to get to Jersey and get there like 5
wow.
a.m., pull up to the makeup trailer, go in there, and it would take forever to put those things on. And
oh,
I had
man.
To take my shirt off. I had to take my shirt off, which caused audible gasps from the women there because I'm cut like stone. So, yeah, it was an experience.
I mean, it's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's something
right.
where you take of your personal stuff, because I was watching, I don't know, what was I seeing? You were on Conan or something, because you did a lot of stand-up, and you went on a lot of different shows, and I'm like, holy cow, look at Frank
yes.
go. You know, it's like, so where
right.
have you been on, you know, what shows did you go on?
You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I thought I dropped my call. So, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Could you let people know, like, refresh everyone's memory? Because you went on like some shows. Was it Conan and stuff? Jimmy Kimmel? I can't remember
yeah,
the shows
I was on
that
Conan
you
O'Brien.
Won.
Yeah, I was on Conan O'Brien, and let's see, Showtime, Caroline's Comedy Hour, Evening at the Improv with Bud Friedman out in L.A. Probably half a dozen of those at the time. I never got on Letterman. I never got on Carson, which was kind of a bummer. But, you know, they didn't put on a lot of comedians as it was anyway. So
yeah.
a couple of my friends got on. But, yeah, I did a ton of stand-up in the 80s and the 90s. VH1 Spotlight, like I said, Caroline's Comedy Hour, Showtime's Comedy Club Network, the CBS Morning Program, which was really funny. They taped a bunch of us and put us on at 7:15 in the morning on CBS. Can you imagine comedy at 7:15 in the morning? People with their coffee, you know, just waking up, looking at the guy. Yeah, this guy's not funny at all. You know, it's just ridiculous. They actually put us on at 7:15 in the morning. Yeah, it was Bob Saget. You know Bob Saget, the comedian that was on America's Funniest Videos, the original host of that. His name was Bob Saget. Yeah, it was him and Marriott Hartley, and they were showing comedians at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was the dumbest thing ever. So. Yeah.
Stronger than coffee.
I know, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, how did you, I mean, did you ever think that, you know, you'd be doing everything that you did? I mean, when you had first started out, like getting into acting and comedy.
No.
I
wanted to be an actor first. When I first started, I was in theater in high school. And then I went to study theater in New York. And I went to college. I studied theater in college for about a year and a half. And then I quit and I moved to New York. I took acting classes and stuff. Never thought about being a stand-up comedian. And so, you know, I fell into the stand-up almost by accident. I went into the Cleveland Comedy Club in Cleveland, Ohio, and I walked in and, you know, went to the open mic night there, and I won the competition. They had a competition. It was $50 first prize to the winner. And I won. And I looked at everybody and they were like, "You won?" I started telling my friends, I go, "I won." But none of those guys were professionals. They were all open mic guys. So anyway, I won. And then I won like 4 weeks in a row. And then I started actually working at the club. And so then I moved to Boston in like 1985. And I started really working as a comedian because there was tons of work here. There was colleges. There was one-nighters everywhere. There were 7 comedy clubs at the time. Yeah, there was Played Against Sam, Stitches, The Comedy Connection, all kinds of different clubs all over the place. And so there was a ton of work, and I moved here, and I started working, and I never looked back. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I remember in Harmony. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and then what happened was when you auditioned when you did this comedy, then we started working in New York. We started going to New York City to do comedy. And that's where the auditions were for TV shows and stuff. You know, that's where you had to go. And so I got a manager and an agent from being a stand-up comedian. That's how I got my agent and my manager was from stand-up. They saw me in a club. They would actually go out and look for comedians to do television and movies and, you know, commercials and stuff like that. And so I signed with this agency like, geez, a long time ago, 1990. Yeah, I signed with this agency, and they started getting me auditions for commercials, and I did McDonald's and AT&T and all kinds of different commercials I did. And so that's how you get on your movie career, your TV career going was with that. You needed an agent and a manager, and they were actually in the comedy clubs looking for people. And so, yeah, that's how I got those. Yeah, so that, and still to this day, I have a manager that's in New York, and I live in Boston. So he calls me and says, hey, there's something going on in New York, you know, in 2 days. Can you get out here? And I say, yes, I can, and I drive up. If you look at my IMDb, all that stuff is from New York and Los Angeles. There's very little
Boston.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. You have to go to New York and Los Angeles if you want to be in show business. I mean, you can get stuff in Boston. You can get one line here in a movie. They're not casting any major roles in Boston. You know, like my friend Tony V was in The Heat. He was in one scene. You know, I was in this and that. You know, it's you got, if you want a big part, you got to go to New York and Los Angeles.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
That's yeah, I'm looking up here, you know, on here with what you're saying, I was like following along as I was listening to you. And I remember, because I was like, you know, 1990 and stuff like that. And it's like, I turned my 20s around the 90s. And I remember going to Harvard, and down in like the solo path, there was something called To Catch a Rising Star or something like
yes.
that. Do you remember
that
in Harvard?
Yes. Yes, I do. That was a great club. It was at Harvard Square. It lasted a long time, like 9 years. Mm-hmm. It was there. And Jerry Seinfeld was there, and everybody who was a comedian was there. Every major comic in this country worked that club. And I opened for some of them, you know. I was an opening act for some of them. Yeah.
Oh, I probably,
so,
I probably
yeah,
seen
was
you and didn't
club.
Realize it.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I
worked that club a lot. Yeah, I was there a lot.
I've probably seen you.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I see people now that say, hey, we saw you at this place and we saw you at this college. And, you know, I've been working in New England since 1985. So that's 85, 95, 05, 15. That's 32 years I've been here in New England working stand-up. So I can literally go into a store 20, I just said store 24. Can you believe that? I can go into a CVS or something like that, and I see people come up to me all the time and go, hey, we saw you at the Drake at Firefighters thing, and we saw you at this for the Wayward Little Wanderers, the benefit you did for that show. And, you know, I do a lot of benefits, so that's another part of it, you know, getting up on stage, just getting out there, and get your name out there.
Oh, my gosh. And like, how did you meet everyone? You know, it's like how did you meet all the comedians? Was it through doing comedy and
just
everybody?
Just working. Yeah, sure. We all just, you know, you end up – there was like 4 or 5 different guys booking comedy at the time when I moved here. A guy named Barry Katz, who lives out in L.A. now. Mike Clark, who still books stuff, and he runs Giggles over in Saugus. And there was like 3 or 4 other guys. And so, you know, you ended up just working. you know, there was clubs and one-nighters everywhere. We worked every night of the week in the 80s and the 90s. Every night of the week. Can you believe that? I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, I was there. 50... I remember because I went out.
Sure. Yeah,
it was 50
nights in a row I'd work. Yeah, 56 nights one time I worked straight. Every night for 56 straight nights. Yeah. And I mean for good, decent money, not killer money, but, you know, $50, $100, you know, $200, then back down to 50, and then doing a guest spot for 25, and like every single night we were in clubs. It was awesome. And those days are gone. Yeah, those days are gone. And, you know, Nick's was right down the street from the Comedy Connection at the Charles Playhouse. So there was two major comedy clubs 100 feet from each other. And we would work both of them. I would do both clubs. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember, you know, now
yeah.
my Fremont Street, I think that's still open is Giggles and I think Calhoun's. Because I remember Calhoun's I used
still
to
open.
Do.
They're right down the street from each other. Absolutely. On the same street.
Yeah.
Exactly. 1 mile from each other.
I remember that, and I used to do dinner theater. I used to do Joey and Maria's Italian Comedy Wedding, and then I did the Clatter Ding, and right next door, because I'm always like, I'm always the bridesmaid and never a bride. You know, it's like the big hair, because, you know, like with the big huge hair, and people thought I was a wig, and I had my hair up like Marge Simpson, and it's like next door to us would be the comedy thing. It's like, you know, it was just like great doing that.
Sure,
you know,
we were probably right
like,
next door, because I remember that. Remember that Joey and Tina's comedy wedding was right next door to us. You were probably in there.
Yeah,
I was working. I worked at Kowloon a boatload. I worked there a bunch of times.
Man,
yeah,
I wish I was closer.
Funny.
I'd be like, hey, after this, let's go for lunch.
Yeah. Were you in Maine?
Yeah, I'm all the way up in Maine. I was living in one spot. I live in a new place, and my roommate Michelle, she won't let me take pictures of her, and it's like she'll stab me with a butter knife. You know, she's really awesome, and you know, it's like it's so cool because it's like we watch so much of the same stuff, and it's like you know, I wish that I could go down and like you know get down and see the comedy thing. It's like I don't have you know working on trying to get a car because it would have been nice Saturday night go down to Boston. It's not that far. It's like a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh.
And so yeah,
where do you
and,
live?
What
part of Maine?
Pretty close, like next door to Portland. I can tell you, I'll send you a message where, you know, if you ever want to come up for a visit, say, hey, Shelly, let's go out, let's hang out at a movie, let's go see a comedy thing, or if you ever do stand up here, I mean, I think some people, like, was it Bill Burr? I don't know who's the comedians around here, but they do some around here, and if you ever do a show, like, it's a Saturday night, maybe I could, like, go and see it, because I'd be like, hey, Frank!
You know, there used to be a Comedy Connection in Portland. There used to be a Comedy Connection right there at the waterfront next to DeMillo's. Right there. It was called the Comedy Connection, and now it's closed. It closed down.
Oh, man. I think it'll come around, though. I think when something is big for a while, if you notice that, like, it comes in a full circle. It's like every 10 years when there's an idea with something, I think comedy will come back. I think people will want you know, that, you know, I've got that feeling because everything always comes back, like a line of clothing. Like, they got the 80s and the 90s back now. It's like, holy cow. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's something
that keeps coming
back. And we want people like you. Like, see, for me, I really... It's like I cannot forget, like, even, like, you know, Rocky that lived, like, lasted for, like, so many years. You still have that respect for people. Like, I have respect for you, and it's like, no, I wouldn't get rid of people. They just, like, we just get older, and it's like people say, you know, like, Arnold's not like he used to. I go, you give your time. You put your time and effort in it, and that's why I still have respect for, you know, people that have been in the business for so long. I don't want to get rid of them. I mean, if I was working with you on a film, I'd be like, oh, my God, I feel so honored because you have that much more experience than me. And you get experience, hands-on experience with someone like yourself. So, to me, that's honorable. You know, you're still around. he's still out there doing his thing, and it's like, now it's like, oh, he's even more cute now. You know, it's like I get to see him on Facebook. Look, Frank's such a lovable, lovable guy. Look how cute he is. They're like, you know, seeing all the kids, like, they're just adorable. Comedians, I don't care where you're from, comedians are adorable. It's something about their energy, your energy you bring to us to make us laugh. I've almost choked myself. I laugh so hard, sometimes I give myself an asthma attack. My roommate's like, we believe you're in here, Michelle. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't come out. And it's like, I have asthma, and I suffer from it. And it's like, you make me either pee my pants, spit something out of my nose, or, you know, it's like have an asthma attack if you're doing the job right. I could have a heart attack. I hope to be a God I don't ever die of a heart attack when you're doing stand-up, Frank, but you're just the ball. So I'm just telling you that because, you know, I mean, I take that in a good way. It's like, I can get around with you. You're a comedian. You can handle it, you know. You know, like, you're just awesome. And I was like, I want to see more stuff in you because it's like, you know, we're connecting on Facebook. I was like, look at Frank go. It's like, you inspire me. You know, having that connection with, you know, it's like, there's good and bad stuff with, you know, the internet, but it's like having a connection, and you get to send a message, and, you know, the people that do respond, it's like, wow, this is really cool, and it inspires me to keep going in my own thing. So it's great, and honored to have people like yourself on my show, and, you know, I just want to know, like, what, you're welcome. You know, I hope we do get to work again someday because I just like I said, it's like there's memorable moments in my life and I can remember, you know, being on set with you and it's like, hey, give me a hug. I'm like, you don't even know who I am. I'm like, oh, Frank Cinturelli's giving me a hug. I still have that picture and I think I was like half asleep and I'm just like, I was like, he's giving me a hug. He's so cute. So I'm sitting there, you know, it's just like having that experience of working with you on set. I'm like, man, some people I just wish I could work with again because it's like learning,
sure.
You know, and, you know, even the first time working with
I wish I could do more movies. I wish I could do, like, yeah, I wish I could do more movies, you know. You know, it's hard to get them. It's hard to get movies.
I would love to have ideas. Like, I have ideas, and everybody's, like, saying, just write, Shelley, and it's like people that hold the money, and I'm like, I can get a lot of attention, but I'm not, how can I say, business smart. I'm like, you know, I have that energy and stuff, but as far as promoting myself to get things, to get the business stuff, because I'm entertaining, and I know people that are entertaining like yourself, and I'm pretty sure I could do something really crazy with comedy. You had, like I think the Steve Sweeney film, there's something there. There's something there, and when you put people that have been in experience and put them in film, because look at the Expendables, okay? Look at that, how well those films have done.
I know.
I don't know, you know, and it's like all of them in one film. So you take you guys and put you guys in all in one film, that is going to be the balls right there.
Some,
you know, it's like big brass balls right there. And I've got to say it because you guys in all one film, because people are going to be attracted to that. You guys have been in the industry for so long, and I think that's something that we need because there's so much stuff that you see in films. They're doing remakes, and I'm like, holy crap, they're doing the Little Mermaid remake again. I'm like, how many times is this? No, it's like, I know, I understand, but they're saying it's the money. What happened years ago? They didn't have the money, and they took chances. It's like you get all you guys named people that have been in the business for a while. This is something I think we need. I think we need to bring it back, people that have been in the business to have that connection. I think that's what's overdone in the industry in film. There's so much remakes that are done over and over again. I want to see something new, and even if it's with people like yourself that's been in the business for a long period of time, I'd rather be watching stuff that people have been in the business than remake after remake.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of getting sickening. I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. It's just like another remake. I have to go bang my head against the wall. I want to feel like I can connect with characters where people have these stories out. It's like I can relate to it because I'm not cookie cutter. I'm not a cookie cutter woman. You know, I'm not really like, you know, Barbie and stuff like that. I want to see something that I can relate to characters even if they're guys. And I think that's why with the comedians like yourself, Frank, I can relate to you because you're nuts. You know, you're just like, you're lovable and you're nuts and you have passion. I think that's why I love humans, you know, and it's like, you're just, you guys are just sexy and cute in your own way. And I'm like, I'm not trying to take it in a whole other way, but it's telling the truth about what
I
see, you know, and it's like, I love you guys. And if I ever get to see you guys film, I, you know, like I said, if it does go forward, I want you to tell me about it. I'd love to help promote it on the show. I promote so much stuff on my page. Let me know. Let them know. You know, have you guys on the show, interview you guys, the parts, the person who wrote it, everybody that's involved. And I think we got about like 15 minutes left here. I want to know, Frank, you know, you got any other projects in mind, like anything else that you might, that you can talk about?
Yeah,
you can
writing,
always talk about
I'm,
things. But
I'm writing my own sitcom called The Dentist. And it's about a dentist's office. I think simple is best, you know, something simple. People want to see something like that on TV where it's literally simple. And I think it would be really funny. I'm one of the dentists. Tony, it stars Tony V. Do you know Tony V?
Yes.
Yeah, it stars him. And
oh my gosh.
And I just I got part of the pilot written. It's something I want to do. It's something I see myself directing. I want to direct the whole thing too. So that's the only other thing, other than just going out on auditions and doing the stand up. That's my life. My life is the stand up. That's how I make my living. And so hopefully, you know, if I can get something on television right now, that would be a dream for me. Just to go out to New York, audition for something and get it. And get a weekly TV series paycheck coming in, you know, where I'm making decent, you know, a good chunk of money every week. And then the stand up stuff would be easy. You know, the stand up stuff, I'd be doing theaters and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, I have, you know, I'm writing my own thing, but listen, if I could get on something like Big Bang or Three Broke Girls or any of those shows that are on regularly is really what most people in this business would like to get is a weekly show that you're on every week. And, you know, I just want to be one of the characters. I don't even need to be the star. I just want to be one of the characters. You know, like, you ever watch Three Broke Girls?
Is it three? I thought it was two. Are they the waitresses?
I'm trying to think.
Are they the waitresses?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy that's the chef. He always sticks his head out of the kitchen, you know, him. Something like that is what I'm looking for. You know, like a sidekick. You know, somebody that's on the show. I don't have to carry the whole thing, but just be on it and be visible. Yeah. And so, anyway, that's my idea. I have an idea of writing a screenplay, but I'm still doing the stand-up, and I'm still auditioning for stuff. I'm still going to be going to New York and trying to get things. So, yeah.
Well, I just thought of something because I just I know people are going to try to help me. Like, I'm practicing doing my own films. I got a camera, and it has, like, you know, it can take video, so it's like I'm still learning. So I'm taking pictures, practicing with my own, you know, I'm just in the bathroom right now taking pictures, but I have a camera, and so it's like I'm thinking of ideas for shorts and stuff. And I swear to God, I thought man, I could play an awesome wife to Frank Santarelli in a film. Because I know we would blend so well, like our chemistry would be off the chart because, you know, I could have big hair. Like, you know, I think I know what's missing on TV. And, you know, it's like an Italian show. I think a real, you know, we need something every 10 years. We need some sort of Italian show, whether it's The Sopranos, Everybody Loves Raymond, something. Italians are great. You know what I'm saying? There's something that people like ourselves can bring. It's that craziness, you know, that lovable craziness, and it's about family and stuff. And I swear to God, you could play a family man, like, you know, Everybody Does Raymond. It could be something, hey, Everything About Frank or something, you know what I'm saying? It's something you could play that father, play the husband. And I'm like, I said, man, if I ever want to have someone play my husband or something in a comedy skit, it would be Frank Santarelli. You know, it's just something that I thought of. And
hey,
I just like,
huh? How old are you? How old
me?
Are you?
Everybody thinks I'm a lot younger. I'm almost 50. Yeah,
I'm 59.
They think, see, we're close. I'm 47, but it's a lot. It's like we're a lot younger than it was years ago. Do you know what I'm saying? We look better today because today's a lot different. I think we're living longer and stuff, and we take better care of ourselves. And I'm saying it's like we would blend so well. You know, it's like now that, you know, something, the comedy, it was like I would always love to play in a comedy sitcom Frank's wife. I swear to God, we would work so well off each other. I think just feeling that, I feel like I said, you know, it's like if there's ever something I could think of or you think of and you want the crazy wife, I would be awesome. I could burn shit in the kitchen and all sorts of stuff, and it's like, you know.
I'll keep you in mind because I'm, you know, I don't know where this sitcom is going, but yeah, definitely, I would keep you in mind to be a to be the wife of Frank the dentist.
Oh my God,
so
I would love that.
I know. That's funny.
I can have big, huge hair. I've done it for so many years. My hair's the crazy hair. You put Aquanet in it, I can have the biggest hair that you'll ever see.
Sure. Okay.
So we got about, like, I think about 10 minutes left here. The thing that I wanted to bring up, I do ask all my guests, Frank. You know, when people go through a hard time, like artists and, like, you know, actors and musicians or even comedians or something, people go through hard times, artists, and whether they feel like so depressed that they're not getting work and they're like, I can't go on my life to get to pay the bills and stuff. What can you give like positive motivation for people that are going through things that are artists? And if you can give an example, if there was a hard time in your life and it's just for you to go forward.
Yeah, you know, being an artist is tough. It really is, no matter what kind of artist you are. I went through a tough time. When I broke my ankle, I was out of work for literally 3 months. And, you know, I started writing and I started reading more. It actually worked to my advantage when I broke my ankle. It made me a better person. It made me, like, more thankful of things that I never was thankful about before. So, if you're not, you know, if you're an artist and you're not making money in your art, you know, maybe you should think about getting a job. You know, I hate to say that, but being idle doesn't help. You got to move. You got to keep moving. That's the key, I think, is keep moving. Like, even if you're not working, for me, go to a comedy club and just watch comedy and just hang around and be around the people that you want to be working with, just being there. So a lot of times you have to work for free. And I know that's hard, but that's kind of my thing is if I'm not working, if I don't work for a while, I got to get up on stage. It's like a muscle. If you don't use it, it gets weak. And so I get up on stage and I go to open mic nights and I go to Giggles and I just do a set for nothing just to get up and just to hang around comedians. And so, yeah, I mean, there's that depression thing. Depression is there, definitely. If you're not working and you're not in your art, you know, you want to do it, it's tough. It is really tough, and that's why it's tough to be an artist. But that's also why when you do hit, you make so much money, too. You know, all it takes is one thing for me. You know, if I could get on something like Big Bang and have it hit like that, I'd be on Easy Street. You know, who wouldn't? Making $1 million an episode, you know. So, but being an artist is tough.
Yeah, it's just to hear it, you know, experience of, you know, people that are actually getting to a certain point, because I know so many people that are like, oh, look at Frank, I want to be like at his level. It takes years. It's like you've been around for so
sure
long
does.
And stuff, and,
sure
you know, people
I'm,
like...
I'm pushing 60.
Well,
60
is kind of like the new... It's kind of like the new 50 or 40. Honest to God,
yes.
Frank, it's different nowadays. I swear, people living past 100, I don't know how long I want to live for, but it's like people
know
more about health. You know, it's like right there. You know, you just recovered from, you know, your broken leg. And I'm like, listen, okay, leave the ninja stuff to me, okay? Just do your comedy stuff, you know. you know, and
sure.
It's like, you know, getting up and, you know, working and stuff, but leave the ninja stuff to the ninja people, okay? We don't want any more boo-boos
from
Frank.
Sure, sure.
You know? we gotta make sure to take care of our comedians. You guys were there for us. You know, we got to take care of you guys. Give the love back. You
That's
know what
right.
I mean?
That's
you know?
Right.
It's like, I just, you know, like I said, any projects in the future, just get a hold of me. And I was like, you know, was there anything else you wanted to bring up, Frank?
No, not really. I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm trying to keep it going just one day at a time for me. And I'm just getting back into the acting game after being out for 6 months. But, it's tough. It's tough because I got to go to New York to do this kind of stuff. So thinking about actually going there for an extended period of time, not actually moving there, but going there to try to just to be there. Say they say there's an audition tomorrow at 10 a.m. You know, I got to leave now, you know, like right now. So, you know, just to be prepared and to be focused and everything. I can't be driving out at 4 o'clock in the morning for a 10 a.m. audition. So, but no, yeah, I just appreciate you letting me be on. And if I'm up in Portland, I'll definitely call you. I just so little up there, and it used to be so much. Is there comedy clubs up there? Do you know of a comedy club up there?
I don't think so. Not really too much. If we're something where it's like, you know, you go out and see some of the sites or something, you can go on a little tour, just seeing around here. It's more, you know, like seeing the sights of Maine. In the summer, it's much better. Forget it's the winter. It's like the North Pole up here. It's just like, I swear to God, Frank. Yeah, no, hell is not hot. Hell is cold. I swear to God, that's what hell is. It's freezing. It's not hot. Trust me, I know. Because when they shut down Maine and the buses aren't running, that's how you know. But summertime, you should definitely come on up and, you know, it's like, we'll see, like, what's going on. They have movie theaters. You know, we could always be a good comedy. Let's hang out. How do they say in Hollywood? Let's do lunch.
Yeah, why don't you try to book me up there? Why don't you see if you can get a gig up there for me? I'll give you 15%. Yeah, absolutely. Just say,
sweet.
Look, this guy Frank Sterling
okay.
Like some theater. You can agent me out. Agent me out up there.
Yeah, pimp you out. I'm going
to
see your
try to
pimp.
Put something.
I'm Frank Santarelli's pimp. Yeah, that's right. I'd be so cold pimping Frank Santarelli.
Yeah, no, get me a gig up there. I'm serious. Like some theater or something. If you know anybody that's looking to do a show, give them my number. Or, you know, just
okay.
Say, look, Frank wants to do a show. Absolutely. Because I love it up there.
All
I
right.
Up there all the time. Yeah, Portland, Maine. Well, I love it up there.
Okay. All right, that's the deal. If you heard it, Shelling on Chef Show, I'm going to be trying to pimp Frank Santarelli up here up in Maine.
Absolutely.
All right, Frank. Well, I just want to say it's an honor to have you on the show. And, you know, anytime
you
want
so
to be
much.
On the show, let me know. And thank you so
much.
Okay.
All right, baby.
All right, you enjoy the rest of your Ninja Sunday.
I'll talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Ninja Sunday, great. It was a quickie today where Frank Santarelli, he's a big, huge teddy bear. He's always going to be a teddy bear to me. That's right. I'm going to be pimping out, stone cold pimping out Frank Santarelli from The Sopranos. Ooh-hoo! Ninja Sunday's always blessed. I told you, I get it kicking up a notch for you on Ninja Sunday. And remember, anybody that has a dream, you are as good as anybody else, and you just go for it. Anyway, that's it, Ninja Sunday, and can't wait for more shows. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your Ninja Sunday.